You are listening to Animal Soul Wisdom Radio, tapping into wisdom of our animals, angels, and masters with Darcy Pariso. Tune in monthly to learn how you can better understand your animals and deepen your relationship. This hit show calls attention to the many roles animals play in our lives. Through stories and insights, Darcy shares how animals assist us in raising our consciousness and fulfilling our soul's purpose. These busy healers help us with transitions and challenges, love us, and want us to have more joy in our lives. Are you ready to see yourself through your animal's eyes? Learn how they're helping you and walk through life with more ease and grace? Working with ancient healing practices, Darcy can guide you and provide inspiration to move forward. To learn more, go to darcypariso.com.
Hi, everyone. I'm Darcy Pariso, and you're listening to Animal Soul Wisdom. We're on Transformation Talk Radio today, and we have a very exciting show. I have a very special guest. So this next hour, you're going to learn a lot about adoptions and the process, what it's like to volunteer in a shelter, and all the backstory. And who better to share that information than my guest, Darla Takayoshi. And she's a very seasoned volunteer at Homeward Pet Adoption Center. And that's here kind of in the Seattle area, right, Darla? But north?
In Woodinville.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Darla's had many volunteer positions. And I would like you to just jump in and start talking about how you got involved. What precipitated this?
Yes. Some years ago, 10 or more years ago, a friend of mine was volunteering at Homeward Pet, and she told me about it, and I thought, oh, well, that sounds interesting. And then a few years after that, we adopted a little Chihuahua from Homeward Pet, and she was just the best little dog. She was super chill. She was not barky and yappy at all, but her person had passed away, and no one else in their family could take the dog, and so she ended up in the shelter system, and I found her immediately when she was available for adoption and adopted her. And so it was such a great experience. And then after she had passed away, we weren't in a place that we were able to have another animal at that point. And so I still wanted to get my puppy loves and snuggles. So I went to Homeward Pet and started volunteering. And I started off as a dog feeder cleaner and then dog walker. And I helped out with some taking pictures of the dogs and cats. Well, I helped out with the dogs, but we do have dogs and cats there. Taking pictures for the website. I also help out with fundraisers for Homeward Pet. And now my main position is a receptionist. And after my shift, I go back and snuggle with the puppy dogs. So.
That's, like the frosting on the cake.
Exactly.
Oh, it sounds absolutely wonderful. So how long have you been volunteering? How many years?
3 years now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you have really dabbled in everything. So I wanted to ask you about what happens, how do the animals typically come to you? Are they lost? Are they being rehomed? Or what's some of the situations that you encounter?
Yeah. So we are legally not able to take in lost animals or found animals into our shelter. The way it works is that they end up going to a government run, like a Everett Animal Shelter and over in Yakima. So on Mondays, we go up to Everett Animal Shelter and we get in cats and dogs. We bring them down. So they may have been strays, but they started off at Everett and then they can end up with us. And then on Tuesdays, we get a shipment of dogs and cats from Yakima. And then the rest of the week, people that for whatever reason are no longer able to keep their animals will bring them in and for rehoming to us. So reasons that they are not able to have them anymore is if they're moving somewhere that they can't take them with them, or if perhaps the person passes away and no one else in the family can take the animal, then they can come to us. Or there's a lot of different situations, but usually.
That's pretty much the bulk of them.
Yeah.
Do people sometimes bring their animals in because they, it's just, they find it's not a good fit or there's a behavior problem?
Exactly. That's a great, great thing there. So yeah, a lot of people, maybe their cat is going to the bathroom everywhere except the litter box, or maybe their dog is a little too aggressive with the kids or the neighbors or something. Any kind of situation like that where it's not a good fit, then they do end up, they can surrender to us. And then if they do have behavior issues, we do have a behavior team that works with the animals to get them to be more adoptable. And also with the behavior team, they can help anyone in the community that, even if you did not adopt your animal from us, if you are having issues with your animal, we can help you for free through over the phone or by email if you contact our behavior manager, Jenny Black, and it's all on our website, homewardpet.org. And then you'll get some free advice on how to help your animal, make the tweaks you need to get them to be, you know, to fit in with the family.
I'm really impressed by that because I don't know many services or businesses that would offer that kind of, the resource of free advice and free training, and whether it's over the phone or the stop by or.
Yeah, it's usually the free advice would happen over the phone or email.
Okay.
And then if it's like a really big issue that we can't help you with that way, then we can refer you to someone else that can help for paid, paid fees.
Yeah. That makes sense. But that's a great resource.
Yes.
Because how many people, as an animal communicator, people will call me and say, why is my dog doing this? Or why is my cat doing this?
Mm-hmm.
And we can look at it, intuitively, and behavior things may come up. And, they often do. But as far as having that resource,
yes,
from an expert, that's wonderful.
Yeah. And then also on our website, there are a lot of, there's cat behavior tips and health tips and dog behavior tips. So if your animal is having certain issues, you can look on our website and see what those issues are and how to deal with them.
And we were talking a little bit before the show about lost pets. And this is something that I didn't know. And I had a situation during a reading, somebody saying that I think this is a lost cat, is coming to my house all the time. And so she took it to an animal shelter, but it was a ways away from her home, which I didn't realize was going to happen because I felt that the family would probably go to the nearest shelter to look for their cat at that location. But that's not necessarily what happens.
Right. Yeah. When the animals, well, what happens is there's legally certain shelters are in charge of certain areas. So if you find an animal that's lost in Woodinville, then it might go to PAWS or it might go to Everett Animal Shelter, depending on, is it in King County or is it in Snohomish County, or, the exact kind of address, because like Woodinville is kind of a large area. And so there's there's a regional animal control center there. So there's all the different areas, and we have a book, a pages, like two pages, that lists all the different animal shelters in our state, so that when you, if you call in, if you find an animal, you call us, and I'll look on that sheet and find out where you would need to take the animal, what shelter is going to accept it. We are not legally able to accept found animals. But if you are near us and you do find an animal, what we can do, if you bring it in, we can check for a microchip. And also any veterinary clinic can check for a microchip to see if, who the owner is, if they are chipped. And if not, then they would need to go to whichever animal shelter is legally able to accept them.
And I think this is so, so very important. I'm going to spread this word everywhere because I know myself that I've heard people say, we had this dog or we had this cat, and we called, the Seattle shelter. We called a couple, two, three shelters in the Seattle area. But who's to say that that animal wasn't somewhere totally different? And they maybe could have gotten him back, but they didn't know to keep looking.
Right.
And so that resource book that you have feels invaluable.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Connecting. Yeah. That is really interesting. So what other things happen at the shelter? What is a day in the life of? Darla, what is the day in your life when you volunteer?
Well, when I'm there, it's like a 3-hour shift and I usually stay longer. But I do receptionist, so I'm the first face you see when you come in, and I just greet everyone and direct them where they need to go and answer the phones and send them to where they need to go as well. But we have at least 450 volunteers that come in every week to work with the animals as feeder cleaners, walkers for the dogs. The cats don't need to go out for walks, so they just get snuggles and get taken care of, get cleaned up. And then we have positions as in the facilities to clean the whole facility kind of thing. We have a store where people donate like collars, leashes, beds, you know, dog beds, cat beds, toys, all kinds of things. People donate to us, and then we are able to sell those at our, you know, store that's in our building. And then that way all the money goes directly to take care of our animals.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Do people ever bring crates in?
Yes.
Because I know that I have one dog, but I had two dogs and a cat, and I have some cat supplies, and I have some things.
Mm-hmm.
And I always think people could always use crates, or use an extra.
Yeah, crates and towels are great. We always need towels to clean the areas. And anything that you want to donate, we can only take it if it's clean and in good, you know, in good repair, that, you know, new or like new. Is sometimes people will bring in things that are chewed up and messy, and so we're not able to accept that.
Yeah, I understand. So another thing that I wondered about, so when the animals arrive, is there an assessment of maybe their age, their health status, their behaviors, or, you know, what their needs are?
Yes. When the animals come in, we have our shelter manager and other adoption counselors that will look at, you know, assessing them. And we have two vets on staff that will go over them and check out their health and see, you know, what they need. We give all the animals, so we make sure that they're spayed and neutered. We're up to date with their vaccinations. We microchip them, and just if they have behavior issues, then we'll work with them to solve those issues and make them more adoptable. I'd like to tell a story about this dog. We had a Samoyed, a big fluffy white dog, that came in, and he was totally unsocialized, and he would just lay in his kennel with his head in the corner, and he would get really, he'd freak out if anyone looked at him. And so he was with us for, I think, about 4 months or more, just getting him used to people and other dogs. And then we had to find just the right family to adopt him. And there was a lot of them that wanted to adopt him because he was a really pretty dog, but found the right home for him that had a fenced yard and another dog that was a confident dog. And then about 2 months after this dog was adopted, the family sent us a video of him playing at a dog park, running around, playing with all the other dogs, just like a regular dog.
Oh, that's wonderful.
that just fills my heart.
It does. Mm-hmm. I'm such a sap. I watch all the dog and cat stories and all the happy things.
Me too.
It's kind of my life. Oh, that's really great. So once they come in, then they get the training, they look at behavioral things and health issues. And you were sharing that these dogs and cats are in and out pretty quickly.
Yes. Yeah, usually And we do have dogs and cats, and I mainly work with the dogs and know a little bit more about the dogs. But they're usually in about a week, like they come in, they go through our system, and they're adopted out. And sometimes a little bit more. I think some of the cats take a little bit longer, but usually about a week, and they're in their forever home.
That is so amazing. I mean, mm-hmm. I see things on Facebook. Just last night, I saw a picture of someone posted that there was a dog that had been in the shelter for 9 years.
Oh, wow.
And that's the only life it knew. And she said, this is a senior dog, and I just want him to be loved. Mm-hmm. And all these people, and the dog was from Jersey. It's a dog from Jersey. Mm-hmm. And it was a mid-sized dog. It might have been, I'm trying to remember if it was a boxer pit bull mix, maybe. Mm-hmm. And every time somebody walked by, he rolled on his back and covered his belly. He wanted belly rubs. Mm-hmm. It was just really sweet. And all the people were saying, oh, I wish I could take him. I wish I could take him. And then some man said, I'll take him. I'm going to get him. So I sure hope that's true.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Can you imagine being in the shelter for 9 years?
That would be awful. I think the longest that I'm aware of that we've had a dog in our shelter is 1 year. And that was because he needed two ACL surgeries. And he wasn't in our shelter the whole time. He was in foster care, majority of it. So he would got one of the ACL surgeries on one knee. And then, you know, after that healed, it takes months for that to heal. And then he got the other one. So that's why he was with us for a long time. And he got adopted by this great guy who just loves him so much. And they are so, so happy together. So.
Wow, that's wonderful. Yeah. That is, you know, we were talking too about how you, maybe not your shelter as much, but well, maybe I should back up a little bit and talk about, so the state of Washington is considered a no-kill shelter.
Right. Mm-hmm. And a no-kill state.
Mm-hmm. No-kill state, yes. And what that means is, what you've been explaining better than I can probably.
So, well, we don't kill animals for room, to make room for other animals to come in, and that with no-kill shelters, they can kill up to 10% of the animals before being considered a kill shelter. But with us, I think we're only about a 2% kill rate. And that is only because the animals that we take in a lot of difficult cases where the animals are very sick or injured and they need a lot of care. And so we do everything we can and to make sure that we, you know, every last pill or surgery or anything that the animal needs to live a happy, healthy life before, you know, if there's nothing else, if we've tried everything and they are just suffering, then we will do humane euthanasia. So, you know, and just like anyone else would do with their family members, their pets. That's the way we treat it. So it's very low, low rate for us.
And I love that. And I'm so happy to hear that. I know people that have adopted dogs that have come in from Texas when they were having hurricanes, and they just were sending, you know, animals everywhere they possibly could. And we've all seen it on the news and Facebook. So it's so great that we have a state that will take animals in and do everything they can to help them, like a yes. pet adoption center.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Yeah, that's really amazing. Also, what about like seniors and special needs animals? Are they harder to adopt, or do they often stay with fosters until you find the right situation? Is the shelter too hard for them?
And it does take a little bit longer to adopt out the seniors and ones with health issues. And they do tend to be in our foster homes for a while. But we do actually have some people that come in specifically looking for senior dogs so that they can give them the best life possible for their last years. And I love that.
Yeah, that's my goal. Mm-hmm. I mean, I want my dear sweet Havanese to stay with me as long as possible, but I love that too, that mm-hmm. when seniors leave this planet knowing that they were loved.
Mm-hmm,
I think
definitely.
That's one of the best gifts you can give any soul.
Yeah.
Yeah. And special needs, is it pretty much the animals with special needs are pretty much in the same system and treated the same unless they need to be in foster care?
Right, exactly. And so some kind of special needs would be like kidney issues. We get some cats or dogs that have kidney issues and they need to be on a special diet for the rest of their life and like take medication. Sometimes we'll get cats or dogs that have like Cushing's disease, and so they'll need to take medication for the rest of their life. Things like that, but they're still, we treat them with love and respect and, you know, give them everything they need to be happy and healthy.
Yeah, and those special needs are pretty commonplace in a lot of our pets.
Exactly.
I mean, it happens with age, or maybe it could be situational in some cases, but I thought the special needs were going to be, well, an example would be when I had Amanda Geese on from Panda Paw Rescue. She has Amanda to the Rescue program on Animal Planet. Yes. And those special needs animals are extreme. And they are actually looked at like case by case, mm-hmm. where normally they would be euthanized due to quality of life, mm-hmm. quality of life being so low. Or can it be changed? Can it be shifted? And so she has a group of three people that are her, I don't know what she calls them, they're kind of like her panel, her objective outside perspective. Mm-hmm. If this dog, she helps cats, but primarily dogs also. And they'll send the case, the medical information to this group and say, this is what we recommend and this is the cost. And then if the three of them approve, then they go ahead and take care of the dog and do that surgery. And I've only seen one show, or when I had her on Animal Soul Wisdom Radio, she talked about there's only one that they couldn't help.
Wow.
But it's amazing how many people step up, and it doesn't matter if they are attached to some kind of mobile device so they can get around, whether it's a set of wheels or what that might be.
Yeah, that's amazing. We had this one German Shepherd at the shelter there that seemed normal. And then all of a sudden one of our volunteers noticed that he was having some issues. And so they told the staff, and the staff noticed, oh yeah, there's a problem. And we had to rush him to the emergency vet. And they said that he had bloat, that his intestines and stuff had twisted. And that is a situation where he would die. And so we, Homeward Pet, paid $10,000 for emergency surgery to fix that. And then 2 weeks later, when he was healed, we adopted him out for $175. So they say we're not great at math, but we do what's right for the animals.
Yeah,
so.
That's a return on investment. Maybe if you have 10,000, help more animals. I'm glad that you helped him and he got a home and all that worked out. So what are some of the other situations that a foster home could help with?
Oh yeah, like kittens that are too young to be adopted out yet. And let's see, puppies, situations where they have like the upcoming surgery, like the ACL or anything else. If they have some, maybe they're too high strung or anxious in the shelter, because it's not a calm, comfortable place to be for a lot of animals. They want to be in a home with people, and so things like that.
Is it as easy as maybe medication, but somebody has to be giving it frequently,
right?
And somebody has to be at home to keep an eye on things. Thinking of maybe seizures or something that might be even more extreme.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. Although we do give medications in the shelter for various things. Sometimes if it's something that's a long, drawn out, that they're going to be with us for a long time, then we like to have them be in foster care so that they're more comfortable.
Yeah, that's going to make a big difference in healing, to have that consistency and to know who's going to feed you every day, where you're going to wake up every day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's great. Are there any other stories that come to mind about either the foster care or some of the animals that have come in?
Oh, well, there's one where, because I do some foster care as well for dogs, and one of the things that we can do is call the kennel break. And so we can, you know, if a dog needs to get out or you want to bring one home that's still there, then we can bring them home for a couple of days during the off times that we're not adopting. And so I did bring home a Chihuahua that was from a hoarding situation. And like, she was at Homeward Pet for about a month because she was so under-socialized. She'd never been outside or on a leash or anything. And so she was getting used to people. She'd never seen anyone except for her, you know, person she lived with and with a bunch of other dogs. And so after about a month in the shelter, she was feeling better and getting used to people. And then so I brought her home for a couple of days, and she was great. She was, she just really warmed up fast and got used to being around people even more. She was sitting on my lap, sleeping on my lap all the time, or following me around, and she'd slept in the bed with me all night. And she was just a real sweet dog. And then so I brought her back for adoption times, and I was happened to be there when her new family came in and adopted her. And so it was a nice couple that had another Chihuahua that was shy, and they were looking for a friend for her. And it just was the perfect fit. And I got to talk to them and let them know all my experiences with her. And it just worked out great. So it just, it really made me happy to be able to meet her new family and see her happy.
Mm-hmm. I'm really glad you were there and you got to see that and to be a part of that. Mm-hmm. That's really important, really special. You know, I think this is a really good time to take a break. So when we come back, we're going to share some more. Darla, did you want to give out some information about an event that you're assisting with, involved with?
I have a friend named Sandra Champlain that wrote a book called We Don't Die, and she has a radio podcast called WeDon'tDieRadio.com or on that. And she interviews lots of people that have had near-death experiences or mediums who communicate with loved ones on the other side. And she now is doing events called We Don't Die events. So we're having one in Seattle area. It'll be at the Lynnwood Convention Center in the beginning of June. And a portion of the proceeds from that event will be donated to Homeward Pet Adoption Center.
Let's take a break and we'll come back with more information. And thank you again for tuning in to Animal Soul Wisdom Radio on Transformation Talk Radio. This is Darcy Parisa. We'll be back shortly.
We remember a time when you could simply form a thought and it would manifest. The harmony was forgotten, but it is returning now. The power of inspiration and awakening radio with Julia Griffin on TransformationTalkRadio.com each second and fourth Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific will take you on adventures through the heart and spirit, exploring who we once were. This intuitive healer studied under the guidance of wolves, learning from their wisdom to master a higher frequency for a new state of mind. Visit OneTrueSelf.com.
Living Lighter Radio with Jason and Patricia. We have an ecosystem approach to your life. Tune in weekly every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as we, Jason and Patricia, discuss what's truly holding you back. We offer you the tools you need to reach your goals and at the same time be living lighter. For more information about Living Lighter, visit www.livinglighter.org.
It's time to shake out your money-making truth on Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show is more than your roadmap to success. It's your compass to abundance through joy and ease. Jennifer Bloom teaches you about the soul's relationship to money and wealth and how improving that relationship serves both you and the world. Learn more at JenniferBloom.com.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
the vibration of change, that magical place where life shifts from struggle to ease, from stagnation to forward movement, from old ways of being to new ways of becoming. If you're like I am, it can be rather elusive to get there, but when you are in it, you feel it down to your very core, don't you? And it can positively affect everything in your life, from your relationships to your health and well-being, from your career path to your abundance, from the quality of that inner connection to the fullness of your self-expression. On the Christine Upchurch Show, we explore ways to get into that vibration of change with experts in the fields of consciousness, psychology, spirituality, health, healing, and science. Join me, Christine Upchurch, every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on KKNW AM 1150 and Transformation Talk Radio, and learn new ways to step into your vibration of change.
Do you sometimes feel overwhelmed by your mind? Powerless when it seems to spin in worry circles or bombard you with self-critical thoughts? Do you want to learn how to master your mind and feel more in control of your life? Listen to Dr. Friedman's Empowerment Radio, Shift from Confusion to Clarity, Self-Doubt to Confidence, and from Anxiety to Peace and Balance. Dr. Friedman and his many guest experts share the insights and tools you want to live with greater ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in to Empowerment Radio every first and third Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back. This is Darcy Pariso of Animal Soul Wisdom. And my guest today is Darla Takayoshi. And Darla is involved with Homeward Pet Adoption Center in Woodinville, Washington, which is just about, 20, 30 minutes north of Seattle?
Yes.
Yeah. And this is, it's just been a great, great information. And even though we're talking specifically about Homeward Pet, this also goes out to a lot of the other shelters. There's differences, of course, but we want everybody to check their, check into their shelters and see what kind of volunteer opportunities they might have and what surrendering an animal might look like, and really be informed. And we're hoping more people donate and step up, give their time.
Yes. Yeah. Because it, for the Homeward Pet Adoption Center, it costs about $2 million a year to run it. And we adopt out a lot of animals. We've been in business for 30 years, and we've adopted out over 33,500 animals during that time. So a lot of animals come through. And we only have about 27 people on staff that are paid, and over 450 volunteers that come in every week. And we also have some more volunteers that only help out with fundraisers and offsite events. So there's, I think, over 1,100 volunteers on the books. So it takes a lot of people to run this shelter and make things happen.
And about a level of commitment, do you think that most people come in and do their weekly shift, like they might volunteer for 4 hours one day a week? Is that the most common volunteer, or does it vary?
Yeah, typical. It depends on the shift or what the job is that you want to do, the volunteer position. But they're usually 2.5 to 3 hours per shift. And we want you, typically people would do one shift per week. And we want you to do at least a 3-month commitment, because we train you, put a lot of time into training you to do whatever it is you're doing. And, most people stay longer than 3 months. And we've got some volunteers that are there for 25 years. So it's a great place. I've been there for 3 years, and I will stay as long as I am able to.
That is great. That's great. And we were also talking about the event that you have coming up that you're helping to coordinate. Maybe we should jump back into that. The We Don't Die.
Yeah, the We Don't Die Seattle. So that's my friend Sandra Champlain putting that on, and I'm helping her with that. And what it is there's a lot of mediums. So we have Scott Milligan. He's a physical medium from England. He's coming over for the event. He'll be in that. And we have Carrie McLeod and Philip Dykes, and they are mediums from Scotland that will be coming over to be in the event.
Can I interrupt for a second? I'm sorry. If someone isn't familiar with what a medium is, could you explain what a medium does?
Ah, yes. Okay. So a medium is someone who communicates with our loved ones on the other side. And so there's different kinds. So there's evidential mediums that will, they'll give you information, like they might give you your deceased loved one's name, their age, when they passed, what they passed from, what they're doing now, things like that. And then there's physical mediums, which Scott Milligan is. And so when he sit in a seance, and so there's all these people in a circle, and things happen. There will be certain spirits that might come through, and things will kind of go around and touch people. There's a trumpet. It's kind of shaped like a, what do they call that, when they're cheering, when the cheers. Anyways, it's a cone shaped.
Yeah, like a horn almost, but yeah. A cone shaped, yes. Yeah. A horn, I don't know. Is that what it's called?
And that sits in the middle of the circle, and there's like toys and various things, hula hoops and things that they'll have illuminated tape on them. As we sit in the dark, and you'll see the items with the illuminated tape moving around, and they'll come around and touch people on the knee or the hand or whatever. And in there was one seance where this lady whose son had passed away, the son came, and he came over to her, talked to her, and he hugged her. And she was able to feel him hugging her, and she could hug him back, and he was talking to her. You know, that's pretty amazing stuff.
Yes.
Sounds a little out there for a lot of people, but it's really amazing. So if you're interested in being in, you know, experiencing that, you know, if you're suffering with grief of your lost loved ones or someone you know is, it's really comforting to have communication from them and to hear them again and feel them. So that's kind of some of the things that happened during the seance with Scott Milligan. We'll also have Sonia Rinaldi from Brazil, and she is, she does things with taking pictures of our people on the other side, and she does EVP.
I was going to mention that voice.
Something
projection, EVP or T,
but P. So it's where you record.
You know, Darla and I both went to Arthur Findlay College in England for some mediumship training. Mine was back some years ago. I'm not sure. Probably yours also, but in their chapel at Arthur Findlay College, they had the EVPs, and you hear about it and you don't know, you know, I don't know what to think about that. But when you have the experience, there were people that were going up and asking to communicate with someone, and people's babies were coming through, and people are coming from the town. And we were told, we didn't witness that particular experience. We just heard about it, but it was a night for parents that were grieving the loss of their children and their babies. And they were coming through, and they could hear their voice and the words that they used, the nicknames or whatever. It was really, really healing, and lots of tears are shed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing experiences that happen with that. But yeah, Sonia takes pictures and video of the spirit people coming through, and they'll like smile and kind of change. It's really fascinating. And then we have a couple of local mediums. Chris Fitting, he's known as the Spirit Illustrator, and he tunes into the deceased loved ones, and then he draws pictures of them. And then Jennifer Brazier, an evidential medium. And so Chris and Jennifer are going to be working together, doing a demonstration where she's going to be bringing through the information. He will also bring through information from the people on the other side, but he'll be drawing the pictures, and it's really fun.
I've seen them, and they are amazing. And the other thing is that animals come through.
Yes.
And Chris draws the animals too. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing when the animals come through and they give messages, and it's so healing. And they say things that you just absolutely know that it's them. Mm-hmm. There are things that, you know, I always think to myself, like, I would never say something like that. They're just things that come through you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. So this applies to animals too. So if you're interested, check this out. It sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah. And the information about that will be on wedontdieradio.com. It's Sandra's working on getting the website up and running for people to start registering for this, but it's not quite up yet as the time we're having this interview. But also I just wanted to mention that with Sandra, when she wrote her book, it was because, well, she had a fear of death, and then she was researching death and dying and things on the other side. And then her father died, and she was in such a state of grief. And then she wrote this book because it was so painful going through that grieving process. And she wants people to not have to go through it, everybody goes through grief, but to not take it so hard or to make it through it easier. And she's had many, many people that have who have lost a significant person in their life, and they felt that they couldn't go on and they were ready to commit suicide. And then they somehow came across her book or the radio show and listened to the podcast. And then they felt more comforted and realized that they can live on. And there's just so many people have had very comforting experiences through reading her book and listening to the shows and going to these events that she's having, the We Don't Die events. So I highly recommend it.
It'll be life-changing. Will be. This morning I was meditating, and I do a sitting in the power meditation every morning. It's James Van Prague, a world-renowned medium, says it's the most important thing that you can do is just to have that time for yourself. So whether it's like 15 minutes, 30 minutes or whatever in a dark space, a dark closet or whatever that might be. And this horse Ella, which is our friend Stacy Lewis, was her horse that crossed over, was it last year?
I think so.
Yeah, it seems like it's been a while, but it's just last year. And Ella came through and kind of knocks on my walls, and she told me that she was my guide. And I think she suggested it another time, and maybe I forgot, but that of course she would be, because we've had so many past lives together. Of course she would show up. And anyway, it's just really fun to know that you have such support from animals and people. I talked to a woman the other day, and she had four dogs, and the dog that was crossed over was telling me that the new puppy was allowing him to share his energy and share the energy in that puppy's body. And she said, I absolutely knew that because the dog's name is whatever, you know, Spot, but I keep calling him Rover. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why I would say that, but I know that that dog is the dog that crossed over, whether he has come into that body just to visit for a while and hang out, which they sometimes do, or if it's the same soul. Mm-hmm. But it's really healing to find those things. And it's kind of magical, and it feels very special.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah, so that was a segue a little off to something else. But getting back to adopting animals, mm-hmm. You mentioned something about veterans.
Yeah, so we have a program currently at Homeward Pet where veterans can adopt a dog or a cat, and the fee is waived. So have the veterans come on down and get your loving animal here with us, and no fee.
And how healing on both sides.
Oh, yes.
I think that's just wonderful. And then you did talk already about the fundraising.
Oh, yeah. So at Homeward Pet, as I said, it costs about $2 million a year to run it. And so we're always doing lots of fundraising events because we're all privately funded. We don't get government funding. And so our biggest fundraiser is coming up, and it's called the Fur Ball, and it's May 16th. You can see it on the website, homewardpet.org. But that will be a silent auction and a live auction. And it is so much fun. It's at the Maidenbauer Center. And I always volunteer, so I'll be there. And that we get about 25% of the money that it takes to run for a whole year from that one event.
That is huge.
Yeah.
You said it was $2 million?
It's about almost $2 million.
Yeah. That, so that's huge.
Yeah.
And Darla, how do kids participate in fundraisers?
So we do have some kids that will do lemonade stands, and they bring in their money to volunteer or to donate to us. And then some kids, for their birthday parties, they'll tell their friends to bring things for the animals to donate to the animal shelter. So toys and beds and food and kitty litter and things like that. So then they come in. It's so adorable. These little kids come in with a wagon full of things to donate to us, and it's wonderful.
Oh, that is.
Yeah.
Yeah, a great way to instill that early on in their life, that volunteering and helping others, whether it's people, animals, or the planet.
Absolutely.
Perfect. That's just perfect. I think the last thing that maybe we want to touch on before we need to sign off, a little bit of time left, is one thing that I was reading about probably a year or two ago on the website was about hospice and foster parents. Mm,
yes. Yeah, we do. Sometimes we'll have animals that are terminal and they just need to be in foster hospice care. And so we did have one cat that was only expected to live about 2 months, and she was in one of our volunteer fosters home for, I think it was 3 or 4 years she lived. So that was amazing and, you know, so wonderful, comforting to be in a home and with a person who loves you. So that's definitely one of the things that our fosters can do.
Yeah, and that's an incredible person that can give that kind of love, knowing that it's temporary and it's going to break your heart, but it's more rewarding and wonderful than it is sad.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, is there anything else you'd like to share about adopting, rescuing?
Well, just like some of our volunteers that do Reiki or animal massage come in and do that on the animals, which is really nice.
That is. And I might be interested in that. So how would I find out about that?
Okay, so you would go to our website, homewardpet.org, and you'd look under volunteer. And then it was under volunteer or becoming a volunteer. And then when you click on that, and then you'll have a online application to fill out. You fill that out and submit it, and then you'll hear back from our volunteer manager. And then once you hear back from her, then you'll be able to sign up for our volunteer orientation, which is always on the second Tuesday of the month. And there's two options at either 12:30 or 5 o'clock at night. And those take about an hour and a half to 2 hours.
Okay.
And then once you've been through the orientation, then you can sign up. If you want to work with dogs, then you sign up for the dog training level one. If you want to work with cats, you sign up for dog or cat training level one. And then once you've done those trainings, which are online, so it makes it real easy, and it's about, I think, an hour or so of online training. And once you've done that, then you can sign up for a shift, a volunteer shift. And then typically you would be, you'd have a mentor for the first few times until you feel comfortable with what you'll be doing. And then you just do it. And you can, there are some people who do multiple shifts in a week, but we'd like you to do like one a week. So,
yeah. Thank you so much. This is such great information. I hope it inspires everyone. And you don't have to live in Seattle. And it'd be great if you'd go to Homeward Pet Adoption Center. But if you can volunteer anywhere, wherever you live in the country, and everybody makes a difference, depending, you know, whatever they can give, whether it's a couple hours a week or it's having them live in your home or a one-time event, a fundraiser.
Mm-hmm.
So We can all make a difference. So thank you so much. And before I sign off, I would like to say a big thank you also. So this is my last show today. And so thank you, Darla, so much for joining me.
Yes, always a pleasure.
Yeah. And again, that's Darla Takayoshi. But I wanted to say thank you to Dr. Pat Basile. And she and the senior producer, Jessica Henderson, have mentored me, helped me, built a great website, and supported me with technology, probably more than maybe they should have. But all the producers, everybody on the Dr. Pat team has just been really wonderful. So a big thank you, a big shout out. And I will be back on the air as a guest here and there, so keep that in mind. And you can also follow me on Instagram. And my Facebook page is Angels and Animals. And the website is Darcy Pariso. That's like Paris with an O, darcypariso.com. So check that out. And I will be having some specials on readings from time to time. So again, thank you to all the listeners. It's been great. I love you all. I love the Dr. Pat team. Adios.
Thank you for listening to Animal Soul Wisdom Radio, tapping into the wisdom of our animals, angels, and masters with Darcy Pariso. Tune in monthly as Darcy shares stories and insights on how to better understand and deepen our relationships with animals. Working with light and ancient techniques, Darcy is here to guide you through the process and provide inspiration to move forward. For more information or to listen to this show, visit darcypariso.com.